Rockland, USA.
From Rockland, USA studios in Washington, D.C., this is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, your financial coaches, and we're so thankful you've joined us. You can call us 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments, and we'll answer them on the show. And if you're too shy for all that, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss America, Amanda.
Hello, Craig.
You don't like that introduction?
That's great.
Hey, I got a quick question for you.
Yes.
You've come from... I don't know. How would you describe your $8,000 a year bottom?
My what $1,000 a year?
At one point, you're only making what, $8,000 a year?
Oh, $8,000 one year, yes.
And so now this
fortunately,
month,
that trend did not continue forever.
Well, apparently. And so you've built all this wealth, and this month you're buying properties, rental properties. I'm really curious. Describe to everybody, what does that feel like? I mean, isn't that exciting?
Yes, but it's also terrifying.
Well, I would be terrified too. But yeah. I mean, just think about where you've come from, and you've built all the wealth, and you're debt free, and now you're buying rental properties.
Yeah, so I won't be debt free anymore.
That's a whole other issue.
But these are the types of debt that I don't have an issue with for my situation.
But yes. I just think it's amazing. I mean, I think congratulations are in order. I think it's awesome. You're just furthering. I mean, this is a more advanced step. We don't want everyone to go out and buy rental properties.
Right. So I guess the important thing is that we talk about diversification all the time. And that's why we promote index funds, is so that you have a diversified portfolio. I just take it a step further and have some of my money diversified into real estate investing so that I'm not entirely reliant on the market.
Well, Warren Buffett always said you should have multiple streams of income.
That's right.
Yep. So this is one of your streams. I don't get into that part. You do, but you have a real estate background. I don't. So I may do that. I don't know. But I just want to say congratulations. I think it's exciting. Yep. This is a great month.
The goal
for
is
you.
To have, you know, semi-passive income so I can lie on a beach someday somewhere.
You're in Tampa. You can lie on a beach any day you want.
I actually did last Saturday.
Okay. I saw the photos. You guys look so happy. I love it. What's up on this show?
We got a good one. We've got a couple of social media questions, so keep those coming in. We have the third of the baby steps today. We're going through Dave Ramsey's baby steps, and today is step number 3. And then we also have a savvy savings segment on cell phone bills today by special request.
Request?
Yes.
Who special requested?
I'm not telling.
Okay. I lost my bell. There it is. All right. Okay. Now we're ready to go. Hey, before we get started on the social media questions, Amanda, I posted in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/your401k. I got really changed that title.
You're so good at posting in there. Yeah. You know, we also have a Facebook page for this podcast. So all of those followers on the Facebook group should definitely join our page.
Yeah. Why is there only 150 people on the page, but we have 3,000 in the group? Come on, people. Let's get with it. No, I love all the people
in
the group.
All right, back to your post.
Anyway, so we posted in the group this question. Okay, actually, it wasn't a question. It was a little thing that I came up with.
A tidbit.
Yeah, a little tidbit. There you go. I like that. How to throw away $10,000 a year, spend $27.40 a day on little things you really don't need.
Yes.
And I post things pretty much daily. You know, things that get people thinking. That one post just went crazy. Mm-hmm. And people really, I don't know, people were always saying, what, this was an eye opener. Hold on. Oh my God, eye opener, truth. That's crazy. Wow, this hit me. I mean, it was constantly a long thread. I mean, it really hit people. So I was thinking this is almost a, like, I don't know, exclamation point on everything you've been saying in Savvy Savings.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't take much for you to have what I'm going to call leakage in your budget. So $27.40 a day. So let's just say $27 for the sake of simplicity. That's, but that's pretty easy to spend without thinking if you're just swiping a debit card. So some of the things that I think are conducive for what I'm calling leaks, gas station purchases. So you fill your car up with gas. Obviously, that's in the budget, but you run inside real quick and, you know, grab a snack or a beverage, Monsters, you know, because there's a deal on Monsters. You grab two, you grab some lottery tickets while you're there and maybe a pack of cigarettes or a vape or a dip. I'm not sure what people do.
And a dip. That's great.
Yeah, I'm so cool, aren't I, Craig?
Oh, yeah. You know what my big weakness is, what, like 5-10 years ago? I try not to do it anymore because, you know, I'm older and it's, you know, I'm trying to maintain my weight. But you go to 7-Eleven to get gas and it's a hot summer day here in D.C. and you got those cola Slurpees in there, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example that you think, oh, it's just a couple dollars. So maybe you're doing that at the gas station and, you know, you swipe your card. Maybe you stop on your way to work, your way away from work. It could be once or twice a day. Mm-hmm. What about drive-thrus? You know, are you stopping for breakfast in the morning at McDonald's? A $2 sandwich just doesn't seem like much. But if you grab that plus your gas station lottery tickets and cigarettes. The other thing that is an easy leakage is things, and I'm going to say Amazon, but I mean a whole bunch of areas that are all Amazon-like, where you just have an app on your phone and it's super easy to just click and say, oh, you know, I need this. Let me just go ahead and buy that. And it's going to show up in your door next day or within the next couple of days because your credit card's on file. So
absolutely.
Those are the types of things that are ways to look for those leaks and stop the leaks real quick.
And just
$27.40 a day is real easy to add up with just those things.
And I'm just as guilty. I mean, just easily just going out to lunch with your coworkers. Mm-hmm. That's $10 right there. Easy.
Oh, yeah. Boom. If you weren't planning for that.
$10. Sure. And you're only up to 1 o'clock in the day. You still got driving home. You want to have a drink for the long drive. If you're in D.C., I don't know what it's like in Florida, but traffic here, it's 1 to 2 hours. So you want to have snacks or something while you're driving home. So you grab another soda from the vending machine, which is $2.
Yeah, like maybe you're doing the right thing and you're packing your lunch, but everyone in your office is going out for lunch and you decide, oh, let me join them so I'm not the only one left out. That can easily be an unexpected expense. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of areas there. Maybe just take a look. And, you know, one of the future episodes, we still need to talk about budgeting and it's on my list, but we've got a couple of special requests in the next two episodes. So
in our large crowd of flight attendants we have, you know, they're either in a hotel or they're in the airport. You know how expensive that stuff is in the airport?
Yeah, or in the hotel little lobby snack area where they charge you for.
And I see them, they'll go into Hudson. Hudson is like the most expensive store in the world, I swear. At the airport, the newsstand, you go in there, get a soda. It's $4 for this little bottle of soda. But I see them do that in the Starbucks. There is more expensive than a normal Starbucks. And it just adds up. It's just amazing. It does. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. It was a really good discussion. Great. It's just something to get people thinking. It's like, before you buy something, do you really need that?
Right. Yep. Anyway. And keep track because those leaks add up. All right. Social media questions.
Yeah.
Craig.
Here we go. You ready? I'm going to throw one at you.
All right, let's do it.
I have become a follower and listener to your advice. Love the podcast, exclamation point, by the way.
I like exclamation points. Yeah.
Do you suggest a 50-50 automatic quarterly adjustment? I'm sure you've covered it before, but I haven't found it. What is your suggestion?
Oh, okay. Well, this is a good one.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. Well, they're all good, but I like this one. So this question is really about rebalancing your portfolio. Mm-hmm. So it's going to depend what your portfolio allocations are at right now and how they're performing. So I just did a rebalance on mine. I tend to do it less often than I plan to do it. So maybe I need to set a reminder in my calendar. But I think at least annually, perhaps semi-annually, and then quarterly is ideal. But I wouldn't do it. I actually wouldn't do it anymore personally more than twice a year, because our intent is to set things and forget them, and you don't want to be making too many adjustments. So I think twice a year is more than enough. And the idea here is to rebalance it so that, let's say you want to have 75% in one fund and 25 in the other, or as the question here has posed, 50-50, like you have 50% in one fund and 50% in another, and one just outperforms the other. You might just want to sell off the outperforming one down and then buy into the other one a little bit more, so you're back to 50-50.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Greg?
And we're also considering that you have strong funds in the first place. And what we're doing is we're buying cheap when it dips a little bit.
Right.
If one has more money, then say, hey, now I can buy the other. I did this from when we had the market crash in 2008-09.
Yeah.
I had four funds from that point forward. I mean, I can't tell you. I was like, I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks after that. I was so upset. But yeah. I increased all my money going in, and I made sure everything was rebalanced. And I'm telling you, mathematically, I checked. This really helped me, of course, with my extra contributions over the next 10 years to where we are now, help leapfrog me faster to where I am today. And if we didn't have all that, if I didn't make those decisions, I would not be where I am today. So I really do like rebalancing. I really do.
I do too.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah, throw it at me.
I'm a bit confused. Not me, Amanda, this person here. And by the way, I'm not using their names because some people are getting upset with that. I guess because the group isn't too big, so they're worried that someone's going to know who they are. So right now, I'm kind of leaving the names out. So I'm a bit confused if money market and or fixed fund is a good place to add some money for my monthly 401k contributions. I still have some 20 years left to go. Thank you in advance.
Okay. Well, 20 plus years is a long time to still have money in the market. So anything over 10 years left, you should be aggressive with your investing and in your choices in your portfolio. Fixed funds barely keep up with inflation. They're generally a return of around 2%. So I don't think those are winners, and you're actually kind of losing money because you're keeping your money somewhere where it's not gaining as much as it would in like an index fund, like we've suggested in the past. The S&P 500 funds are good ones. 20 years left to go, 20 plus years, you should be having a long-term mindset. Again, the S&P 500 last year, what did it do, Craig? Like 30%?
Yeah, it was like 30%. Amazing. Yeah.
Not 2%.
No.
Yeah. So that's like if you had $100, you would have made an additional $30 instead of $2.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're between a plain black coffee and, you know, lunch that's for you good. And your friends.
I like that.
You know, 20 years, even if the market corrected, you'd still have plenty of time to recover. Like even like Craig was just saying, 10 years ago, the market tanked. But now 10 years later, it's at all time highs. So that's less than 10 years or just around 10 years. 20 years, you have more than enough time.
And I'll tell you what, Amanda, I stuck it out. I didn't change any of my funds. Mm-hmm. I licked my wounds. It took me 2 weeks. I can't tell you. I was so nauseated because I worked so hard at it. And the amount of loss, but I just, you know, we're going to talk about this in the future, but I still look at what I've actually contributed to my 457 and what the balance is now. It is amazing because it's the balance is nowhere near the little bit I put in, but how much I've made.
Yep.
People don't realize, I know it's hard to, when you don't have a lot in there and you're thinking, how am I going to get a million or whatever you're looking for.
Yeah.
The power of compounding returns.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Until you see it, I mean, I look at regularly. I know it sounds weird, but it reminds me I need to be patient because sometimes I want to be super aggressive, but I look at that. I'm like, just be patient. It all works. Mm-hmm. It just works.
I'll tell you, 10 years ago when the market crashed and I was unemployed for a few months, I was very conservative. And I actually did not start a retirement fund until in my early 30s. So shame on me. I was a big believer in money has to be super safe. I probably would have put it under my mattress if I'm not like a princess and the pea type sleeper.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, a savings account I thought was good enough. And, you know, I was foolish, young and foolish. And then I started investing and watching that money grow exponentially is just, it's the magic of compounding.
You got to be in the market. And just to finish up this question, as I'm doing this Ramsey coaching with a bunch of people here that are in the group, and I'm sure this is maybe one of them, I don't know. I am shocked how many people over the last 10 years that we've had this record run, historic run, that entire time they were in the stable value fund, which is one of these funds. They only makes 1 or 2%. It's like you just missed out on the greatest run in the stock market history and you'll never be able to get that back.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know who told them to do all that, but I understand people that have been punched in the gut in 2008. Yeah. They don't want to be hurt again, but...
Yeah, fear is a good driver, you know? Fear is a driver.
But again, we have a whole generation that doesn't even know what that's like to be literally kicked in the balls. Because that's really what it was.
Well, not literally.
Oh, I tell you what, that's what it felt like to me. I mean, I felt like I was really
literally
kicked in the balls.
Literally.
That's how bad... I mean, because I take this stuff seriously anyway.
Yeah. All right.
One more question. Here we go.
Sure. All right.
Now we're done talking about my balls. All right. Next.
Too much.
Yeah, too much. TMI. Yeah. All right. Question number three. Should I open an account with my bank or personal broker? Should I wait until I buy a house to open an IRA, a Roth IRA? Mm-hmm. Not that it makes a difference. If I do open an account, how much should I add per year? 6,000 being the limit? Should I... Should I open a hands-on or hands-off account? What would be the right choice? There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on there. So
it's yours.
I'm going to break this down and simplify it.
Thank you.
I would not wait until you buy a house. The house should be secondary. If you need to keep renting in order to invest in your future, then you need to keep renting. I would max out that Roth IRA immediately. And I would not do it with a bank. Banks have notoriously high fees. I would, you know, we have talked about in the past, some of the best low cost providers are, what do we say, Craig? Vanguard, Schwab.
Vanguard, Schwab, and Fidelity. My favorite low cost providers. Yep.
Yeah. So advisors at Vanguard are only like 0.3%, while many others are in the 1.1 to 4% range.
Yeah.
And you don't even necessarily need an advisor. You can certainly choose your own ETFs and not have the managed fees there. And those are super low cost ratios on those. But deposit as much as you can afford under your budget. And if you don't have a budget, that should be your priority. One is creating a budget and then contribute as much as you can. I would certainly make it a goal to add up to the limit because that is going to be tax-free money once you hit retirement.
How many times have we told people just, if you want it simple, the index fund, the S&P 500, how many times, I mean, we're trying to tell you.
If you know nothing else, just do that. And then you can always, as you learn more, you can always make other adjustments. But don't wait to start until you're an expert in investing. Start now and then make your changes later.
That gives you 8 to 10% per year over time.
Yeah.
That's a historical fact, and you can double your money every 7 to 8 years. That's how, without even depositing anything.
All right. Well, those were great questions today, Craig.
That was great. I love that. That was a great open. Question. Hey, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get into the baby step three and what we can do for Savvy Savings.
Bell phone bells.
See, I'm curious about this one. Because I don't know if I'm doing everything right with that one. I've kind of slept on my cell phone.
Yeah, I did too for a long time. Until this week.
I don't know if I can leave T-Mobile. You're going to have to convince me. All right, we'll be right back right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to Rock on the Money. Check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. And if you found any value in any of these podcasts, I know you're saving money from them. How much money can you think people can save from listening to this podcast?
Oh, man. Hundreds, if not thousands, just from my savvy savings alone.
Absolutely. If you guys are saving or getting any benefit, please help us help you by sharing the podcast. That does more for us than anything else. Please.
Tell your friends and family.
Would mean the world to us. We really would appreciate if you could do that. So, all right. We're going to do baby step number three, Amanda.
This is pretty simple. It is a simple one. So why don't we recap? Let's recap one and two.
Baby step one, there's seven steps. Baby mm-hmm. step one is you need an initial emergency fund of $1,000. If you make less than $24,000 a year, you only need about $500 just to have something.
You need more, but your goal is $500.
Right. Yeah, $500. We don't want to stress you out if you're not making a lot of money. We want to get you going. And then, of course, baby step two, which is the big kahuna of the whole thing. You're going to work your debt snowball. Debt snowball is smallest amount, smallest balance. Pay those off and work your way up to the biggest balance. We're not worried about interest rates or anything like that. Okay.
So people can be on baby step two for a long time, right?
That like could take a year you one or two. To 2 years. Yeah. You can expect two years or less.
And then you should not move on to step three until you're completely done with baby step two. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah. We don't do anything simultaneously in one, two, and three. Okay.
They're steps, not
steps. Yes. They are steps.
Right.
Okay. So baby step three is pretty straightforward. And we've actually talked about this in a previous episode, just in a different way, about having an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of your expenses. And this is a fully funded emergency fund. This is not rocket science. This has been talked about not by just Dave Ramsey, but everybody. You need to have 3 to 6 months of expenses to have a fully funded emergency fund.
Yeah.
And this is after you've paid off all your debt except for the mortgage, okay? Right. And you've already got this momentum going. You're now celebrating. You're like, holy crap, I just paid off all my cars, my credit cards, and everything. I'm starting to feel really good. So now we want to keep that momentum going, and now we want to build up the money. Now, where will we put this 3 to 6 months?
So you're saying it's not when you get out of debt, that's not the time to celebrate and go buy yourself a new big reward.
Oh, no. I will haunt you in your dreams, people. I worked
so hard.
No, we're not done yet. There's seven baby steps here. We only got through two.
Two. Okay.
We can slow down at four, but we got to get through three. This is very crucial, people. Very crucial. So where would we put our 3 to 6 months of expenses, Amanda? What would be a good place?
So I would put it somewhere where it's liquid so that you can access it rather quickly if an emergency does come up. I mean, you're not relying on credit cards for your emergency fund, people. This is actual money, not plastic money for emergencies. So you'll want to, like a money market account is a good place to have it. We've talked about some of these online high interest rate savings account. That's a good place to have it. Or even if you have a checking account with a bank or a credit union that you like, and there's a savings account there too, that's also an appropriate place to have it. Your goal is not to make money on this money. It's to have the cash available for emergencies.
Yeah. And the difference here is if your car breaks down, you need new air conditioner in your house, something like that, you're now writing a check. We're not going in a loan. We're not financing it through some air conditioner company at 0%.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. Oh, I can help you out with a plumbing job. It'll be $99 a month. You're like, that doesn't tell me anything.
All that. And especially, look, the economy's been doing great. I'm not getting political or anything like that. At some point, they're going to start cutting jobs. It's just a normal cycle of how this thing works. Some people may be laid off. I mean, people get laid off all the time. Mm-hmm. This 3 to 6 months is to help cover you until you get another job. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of thing. So we want to have that money fully accessible, ready to go, and 3 to 6 months. And this is the part that I think a lot of people have a hard time just putting money away. I mean,
because they feel the job is done. They're out of debt and now they can go back to living the high life. Hey, quick question, Craig.
Sure.
Why do you say accept your mortgage?
Oh, because that's coming up in another baby step.
Ah, yeah. Okay. A little teaser.
When we get up to baby steps 4, 5, and 6, we get into the mortgage. But right now, we don't care about the mortgage. We're just paying that on time like we always do.
Perfect.
Nice teaser. I like how you did that. Here, and just as another quick reminder, since we've just now
I just asked the questions the listeners are going to ask.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Here, just one quick reminder, since we've done baby steps 1, 2, and 3. Let's say you're married and then all of a sudden you found out your wife is pregnant.
Well, you don't have to be married for that, for your wife, but...
Look,
pregnancies happen outside of marriage, Craig.
Personal situations whatsoever.
Yes. But I don't know how that's relevant.
Okay, you're a couple and you got a baby on the way. I don't know how it happened. Well, I do know how it happened. That's a whole other thing. But let's say you have a baby on the way. This is one of these little side rules to the baby steps. You stop the baby steps at that point. We're not paying off the debts. We're not building up the emergency fund, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, we're kind of doing an emergency fund because here's what you're going to do. All that money that you have extra from your budget, because you have a detailed budget, Amanda, right? Mm-hmm. All that money, instead of paying off debts or whatever, we're now dumping that into a money market account or your bank account. We're going to start building that up. Because what we want to do is make sure that no extra medical expenses occur from whatever's occurring. I'm just using a childbirth as an example. Sure. So once the baby is born and the baby comes and everything's fine and comes home, and your expense was probably the TV in the hospital room. That was your only expense, and everything was covered. Then all that money, then we go back through the baby steps. We make sure the $1,000 initial emergency fund. Then we pay off all the snowball debts. Okay. And work into, so we take all that money and just work through the baby steps to wherever we end up.
So basically now, what you're saying, if I could recap for you, is that if you have an anticipated large life event coming up that may have some cost associated with it. It doesn't even have to be for sure. Sometimes it is certain, but other times it's not certain. You should pause the baby steps, stockpile your money. I mean, of course, continue making minimum payments, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to put yourself in an even worse situation, but stockpile money so that you have a cash fund, and then once everything's in the clear and you don't need the money, or you use some of the money and not all the money, or you use all the money, then you go back to start. But if you don't use all the money, you use that stockpile to throw at your debt.
Right. We don't go to the dealership and buy a car.
Got it.
We all go right, back through baby steps and we find out where we're at that point. We use all that money, but we just want to make sure that we're not caught off guard by a premature baby, or if someone is sick and going through cancer therapy. You don't know what the costs are going to be associated with it, because these medical expenses could really be damaging, and we don't want to go deeper into debt. So we're trying to stockpile the money for that. So
perfect.
So thank you for that recap. That was a quick baby step. There's not really much to it. 3 to 6 months. Build it
Save
up.
Save your money.
Save your money. And then we get up to 4, 5, and 6, which is coming up next in another episode. So Savvy Savings. This is my favorite part.
Okay.
All right. Cell phone bill.
Cell phone bills. So J.D. Power reports the average monthly bill will set you back $157.
Okay. I agree with that.
Yeah. So after your monthly housing, grocery, and utility costs is probably your next priciest item in your entire budget. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I would go with that.
I'm going to start with my own personal situation. So you all will know then that as savvy as I can be, sometimes I just let myself get in my own way as well. I have been a loyal customer for one of the big four. So the big four would be AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile.
You're not gonna out which one it was?
I will.
Okay.
I have been with AT&T for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, like when they were Singular and then AT&T bought them a few years after I was Singular.
Wow, that's old school.
Yeah. So I was super loyal. And you know what that loyalty got me? Nothing. Yeah,
what'd they give you?
Nothing.
Oh.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, I had a discount on the bill from my job, but we'll talk about discounts in a minute. But other than that, you know, 25 years doesn't get you anything except for, like, they say that they have some kind of loyalty program where you get cheaper movie tickets on Tuesdays, but everyone gets cheaper movie tickets on Tuesdays.
Like T-Mobile Tuesdays. Go ahead. Yeah.
So a year and a half ago, my husband said, hey, we should switch to T-Mobile. They have a military plan. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the math adds up. It would save us some money, but I just don't want to switch because I'm a loyal customer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and switching is probably so difficult, right?
Yeah. It's very difficult. It takes like 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to cut to the chase there. We actually did end up switching about a week ago. To T-Mobile. So I'm not going to convince you to leave T-Mobile because that would say that I made a mistake. But here's some things that you need to look for when trying to save on your phone bill. And I basically hit my limit with AT&T because they couldn't really give me anything to reduce my bill further. Okay. So number one, pay for what you need. So do you really need unlimited data? So here's an example. We were getting 15 gigs a month from AT&T, which is essentially unlimited. There's three people on my phone plan, myself, my husband, and my son. Mm-hmm. On an average month, we use between 3 and 5 gigs total. Okay. Between three. Do you think we needed 15 or even unlimited? No. But there's this comfort, right? In unlimited, oh, I'll never go over. No matter what I do, I won't go over. So to manage that, if you do tend to do a lot of streaming or downloading, you know, do that when you're on your Wi-Fi, either at home or out and about. Check your last 6 months of bills. See what you actually are using. Are you using anywhere near these upper limits of gigs that you would need a higher plan? Possibly, but most likely not. Mm-hmm. Another thing, skip the phone insurance.
Yes.
Or any other fluff options on your bill. So do you really need visual voicemail? That's an extra charge on a bill. Do you need phone insurance? Well, if you're prone to dropping your phone or something like that, then maybe. But did you know that the coverage varies? So in the first 6 months, they'll cover a certain deductible. Or you have a certain deductible. You still pay something. The insurance is you pay insurance and then you still have to pay a portion of the repair costs, like $50 to $100.
Right.
Still comes out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And then the older the phone gets, the higher your deductible gets. So at that point, you probably would have either bought a new phone or you could have had that money working towards other things and then just bought a new phone on your own. Mm-hmm. Enroll in auto pay and paperless billing for your discounts. So like, for example, both AT&T and T-Mobile, those are the two I'll talk most about because I know them best, but they both offer like a $5 or something discount if you enroll in auto pay and paperless billing.
Yep.
Speaking of discounts, are you taking advantage of all the discounts available to you? So like I mentioned, we just went under the military plan. Most of the major carriers, I don't know for sure, but the major carriers have military discount plans. First responders, they have discounts. Students have discounts. There are discounts for a number of places you work. So under my AT&T plan, I had a discount for when I was a government employee in Miami. And that discount stayed with me, even though I left that job, you know, 6 years ago. So you never know. Your company may have a discount already negotiated. Check with your HR department or read through your employee handbook. See if it's one of your benefits. Do you get a discount, Craig?
You know, I hate to admit this, but mm-hmm. I have been a T-Mobile customer since the 90s. Mm-hmm. I've grown through them when they were really bad. And now they're like awesome. But they actually have. I know why you're asking me this. And that's unfair.
I don't know why I meant it.
They have a 55 plus plan.
No, I was thinking the first responder.
You're calling me old. No, they have a 55 plus plan.
Oh, yeah.
So anyone over 55.
What I like about T-Mobile, though, and some of the other carriers have this at once, so I'm not a T-Mobile commercial. They certainly aren't paying me to be one. So is that it's all in. So whatever it ends up being for your lines, like I think ours ends up being $120 a month. That's flat. That's taxes, everything, all in. So you, like AT&T will say, oh, it's $120 a month, but then they add in all these local and state taxes. There's like 20
different surcharges on there. And
then it's $150. Yep, exactly.
Now, the T-Mobile One Unlimited 55 Plus plan, you get two lines, unlimited text, talk, and data for $70.
See, that's pretty good.
So, I mean, find that anywhere else. That's crazy. Well,
I'm going to tell you, you can find it somewhere else.
Daggone it. Go ahead.
It's just where your pain points are. Yes. So take advantage of the extras. So, you know, AT&T did offer some extras. Were they valuable to me? No, not necessarily.
Right.
T-Mobile, we switched over them for a couple of reasons. One, they included international data and texting, and my husband travels more. I couldn't get that with AT&T. That was the main reason for our switch. T-Mobile also includes a Netflix plan. So we were paying for that on our own. Now T-Mobile's paying it. So that saves us $13 a month. I saw a commercial for one of the other major carriers. I think it was Sprint. I'm not sure, though. But they'll pay for your Disney Plus subscription. So if you're already paying for these things on your own, I wouldn't say sign up because of that. But if you already are paying for it, it would save you that amount.
Oh, that was Verizon, by the way, for Disney.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Just because I know someone's going to write us and say, no, it wasn't them.
Anyway, go ahead. I didn't know.
But now you're good.
Apparently their commercial wasn't
good
enough.
I have no life. That's why I know all this crap. It's totally useless.
So, and if you are getting that unlimited data, can you use your mobile hotspot at home instead of home internet? Maybe that would save you an internet cost at home. You know, some food for thought. I know my sister didn't have internet at home. She was using her mobile phone for internet for quite some time and it worked fine. So look into other carriers. See if your current carrier will match the offer. They might. Remember, they don't want to lose a customer. It's much harder to find a new customer than to keep one you already have. But again, if they can't match it, then don't be afraid to switch. Like, it took me a year and a half to get over my fear of switching, which is way too long. Way too long. Yeah. Most people aren't on a contract anymore. So if you're, you know, it's pretty easy to switch. We were there for less than an hour. If you're making monthly payments on a phone still, which you shouldn't, we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. But if you are still making monthly payments on a phone on your phone bill, then that might be different. You might have some penalties for switching. So make sure the new company that you're switching to will pay it off. A lot of them have that those deals for switching. Yeah. So speaking of phones, keep them longer. So steer clear of the rolling the purchase of a new phone into your monthly plan. Hot tip, that's a debt payment. You're just financing your phone.
You mean you shouldn't buy an Apple iPhone 10, 11, 12, 13,
but
14?
But Craig, it's only like $30 a month.
Yeah, okay. It's a $1,000 phone every year.
Exactly. So, yeah, we buy all of our phones outright, and I never buy them from the carriers because they're more expensive through carriers. So, you know, remember, you can find a discount on just about anything if you buy it somewhere else. So we actually buy direct from Samsung, or we've bought phones off of Amazon, even refurbished ones. I would never buy a phone from a carrier.
Yeah, same here.
Speaking of which, watch out for those so-called free phones from the carriers.
What? You mean it's not free? They said it was free.
So they can be free, but sort of.
You mean, hell, here comes the lawyer.
Sort of, yeah. So like my husband convinced them to give him one cheapy phone for, I'm putting air quotes out, you can't see it, but free, which means that every month on the bill for the next 2 years, they're going to put a charge for like $8 on the phone. Because again, it's a super cheapy phone. It's not like your iPhone 10 or anything.
Right.
He doesn't care. He'll use any phone. And then they'll also put a credit for the exact same amount on there. But it means that if you were to switch or terminate your, even though it's not a contract, if you stop using their services within that time period, then at that point you would be, I'm trying not to use a lawyer word, but it's all I know, liable. you would be responsible for paying all of that outstanding balance at that point in time.
Gotcha.
And then finally, and this is the one that we all kind of shied away from, but it's probably one of the most important ones, check out discount carriers. Most of the discount carriers use the same networks as the major four. For example, Cricket Wireless uses the AT&T network and has a plan for unlimited minutes, unlimited texts, and 5 gigs of data. Remember, I said that we were using less than 5 every month, mm-hmm. and that's for $40 a month. And that includes taxes and fees, flat fee. Mm-hmm. There's a great website out there called whistleout.com that'll compare dozens of carriers. And I mean dozens. And they're like, I pulled it up today. It would compare 39 different carriers. I didn't even know there were 39 carriers. But, you know, sometimes you're paying, like we talked about before, how I would package string cheese, the same string cheese, into different packages.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're paying for a brand and it's the exact same thing.
Right.
So you might be paying for an AT&T network because it says AT&T, whereas Cricket Wireless is the, let's call it generic, mm-hmm. using the exact same underlying infrastructure.
Yep. No, because they buy the blocks from the big carriers and they're reselling it as their own. And so they're making some money off that way. However, one thing that I learned from another financial guy, your priority in the network is lower on the lower cost providers, even though. So if that is not a big deal to you, but if you're using like data, like I'm a heavy data guy.
I did see that, Craig, and I actually read someone tried it out for a couple of weeks, and technically, yes, they may throttle your speed during busy peak times.
Right.
But the human eye probably won't notice it. Technically, it'll be slower. Realistically, you're not going to notice.
No, I'm like in the 5% part where 95% of people would notice difference. But yeah, I'm one of the heavy guys, the heavy data users. But we're such a small minority. But
whatever
the most
you need
people
to tell
would
yourself,
not make
Craig,
a difference.
To convince yourself you don't need to switch.
Oh, no, I need to stay with T-Mobile because I do international as well.
Yeah.
And I get the unlimited data. So, and it's 200 some countries, and I'm actually going to these countries.
Right.
And for me, yes, it actually is easy.
Well, there you go.
I go to Canada, I get a text message and reminds me, hey, you can do whatever you want. It's just like you're at home. Like, okay. Right. Yeah, I go. I was just in Jamaica the other day. Got a text message. Yep. Keep using your phone like you always do. You're always reminded that you can just keep doing what you're doing. So
perfect.
So for me,
of course,
I do need.
You have to weigh.
Yeah. T-Mobile, actually, I am using that stuff because I'm a heavy international traveler. So I got to do
it. And that's why we switch. So the point is you should make the comparison and see what fits best with your needs and your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it may not be one of the top four.
And you know what's going to be interesting about T-Mobile? I don't mean to drag this out, but once this 5G comes out, which they have now, but they have a whole TV network coming out.
Yeah. Well,
they're
going to
be like a cable TV company. They already have it up and running.
To get into the technical details, they actually don't have the full 5G yet until they finish their merger with Sprint.
Right. But when you get 5G, you're going to be just like YouTube TV. T-Mobile has their own version of YouTube TV that they have. So your cable company could be T-Mobile or YouTube
T-Mobile,
TV
if you're listening, feel free to throw us,
Yeah, we'll be your yes, we will be a promoter.
Yeah. We are currently not, for anyone who's listening. I'm not getting any kickback.
We're definitely losing money. No, we get nothing. But I am a big
T-Mobile
fan.
But I'll definitely let
fan.
Everyone know if I experience any issues with T-Mobile and regret my decision.
I will be interested to hear what your experience is because I travel all over the United States all the time. And I love T-Mobile. I have never had a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm in every country, too. And it's been great. So I want to hear your experience, though.
Okay. Well, that's all we've got for our show today.
That's awesome. That was a great episode.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there. Plus, links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think. to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody, and we'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.
It would compare 39 different carriers. I didn't even know there were 39 carriers. But, you know, sometimes you're paying, like we talked about before, how I would package string cheese, the same string cheese, into different packages.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're paying for a brand and it's the exact same thing.
Right.
So you might be paying for an AT&T network because it says AT&T, whereas Cricket Wireless is the, let's call it generic, mm-hmm. using the exact same underlying infrastructure.
Yep. No, because they buy the blocks from the big carriers and they're reselling it as their own. And so they're making some money off that way. However, one thing that I learned from another financial guy, your priority in the network is lower on the lower cost providers, even though. So if that is not a big deal to you, but if you're using like data, like I'm a heavy data guy.
Yeah, I did see that, Craig. Yeah. And I actually read someone tried it out for a couple of weeks. And technically, yes, they may throttle your speeds during busy peak times.
Right.
But the human eye probably won't notice it. Technically, it'll be slower. Realistically, you're not going to notice.
No, I'm like in the 5% part where 95% of people would notice difference. But yeah, I'm one of the heavy guys, the heavy data users. But we're such a small minority. But
whatever
the most
you need
people
to tell
would
yourself,
not make
Craig,
a difference.
To convince yourself you don't need to switch.
Oh, no, I need to stay with T-Mobile because I do international as well.
Yeah.
And I get the unlimited data. So, and it's 200 some countries, and I'm actually going to these countries.
Right.
And for me, yes, it actually is easy.
Well, there you go.
I go to Canada, I get a text message and reminds me, hey, you can do whatever you want. It's just like you're at home. Like, okay. Right. Yeah, I was just in Jamaica the other day. Got a text message. Yep. Keep using your phone like you always do. You're always reminded that you can just keep doing what you're doing. So
perfect.
So for me,
of course,
I do need.
You have to weigh.
Yeah. T-Mobile, actually, I am using that stuff because I'm a heavy international traveler. So I got to do
it. And that's why we switch. So the point is you should make the comparison and see what fits best with your needs and your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it may not be one of the top four.
And you know what's going to be interesting about T-Mobile? I don't mean to drag this out, but once this 5G comes out, which they have now, but they have a whole TV network coming out.
Yeah. Well,
they're
going to
be like a cable TV company. They already have it up and running.
To get into the technical details, they actually don't have the full 5G yet until they finish their merger with Sprint.
Right. But when you get 5G, you're going to be just like YouTube TV. T-Mobile has their own version of YouTube TV that they have. So your cable company could be T-Mobile or
so
YouTube
T-Mobile.
TV
if you're listening, feel free to throw us, you know.
Yeah, we'll be your yes, we will be a promoter.
Yeah, we are currently not. For anyone who's listening, I'm not getting any kickback.
We're definitely losing money. No, we get nothing. But I am a big
T-Mobile
fan.
But I'll definitely
T-Mobile
let everyone know if I experience any issues with T-Mobile and regret my decision.
I will be interested to hear what your experience is because I travel all over the United States all the time. And I love T-Mobile. I have never had a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm in every country, too. And it's been great. So I want to hear your experience, though.
Okay. Well, that's all we've got for our show today.
That's awesome. That was a great episode.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there, plus links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.